Okay. Jonathan Lubat argued with me a little late for the last year. Just to go back one line in the Gemara. In the, remember we had, E Dimatzi Le'ahadura, Le'ahadura Nihadri. What does that mean? What that means is that he is, if it's Mufladuri, he sticks in his throat someplace where he can easily spit it up, that he's Chayav Mamon first, before the Chiyuv Misa. Right? Why? And here we said, the Ritva said, Gzeva. And Rashi said, Mazik. And I wanted to say, I wanted to claim, that Rashi was Loshita say, why did Rashi say Mazik and not Gazel? Meaning, to most of the Lashonos in the Gemara, and in Rashi, other places in the Sugya are Gezel Lashonos, because here we're talking about before you swallow it, so it's just passively sitting in your mouth, and Rashi is L'shitasi above Metziah, that to steal something, you need to do something active, and not just passively have it in your proper, in your airspace. Lubat pointed out to me that I just, he's not convinced of this, because I have to make an assumption in Metziah. What does Rashi mean? So the ritual is very posh. What does the ritual mean? Zela. What's the Zela? Being in my mouth, assuming he holds like the Rashba, having it in my airspace, with intent to keep it, right? Being in my Rishus, with intent to steal, is Zela and Shalma Yisrael. What did I want to say in Rashi? So what I wanted to say in Rashi was that being in my rishus passively is not gzela, but it is mazik. Right? You can be a passive mazik, even though you can't be a passive gosler. Lubat pointed out, and Lubat pointed out that I have to just make one assumption here in Metzius. Because I have to assume that by keeping it in my mouth, or in my, the top of my throat, I have been mazik at 100%. It has now become worthless. Why? Because if I was only mazik at 50% and it was still worth something, then when I swallowed it, the other 50% would come at the same time as the misa, and it would be a good nafkamina between Abaye and Rava. Right? Meaning, in order, the kasha is, no, there's no moment at the time of Misa. That means all the moment has to come before the Misa. So then I have to make an assumption, my assumption that I have to make, which is not so clear. It sounds like the Shiva Gubetzes in Rashi makes this assumption. Shiva Gubetzes, over here is a little piece in Rashi, Daf Lamed Aleph, Lamed Aleph, he comes back to the Rashi and discusses in greater length. It sounds like he's willing to make this assumption, but I admit it's an assumption. The assumption is that by just keeping it in my mouth, I damage it 100%. Which I admit is not such a positive assumption. You might have thought by keeping it in my mouth, I only damage it 50%. I have to actually swallow it and do a misa to damage it fully. But I think it could be. It could be that what I said is still true. And then Rashi Bilashitase. Rashi Lishitase. And that's always nice when it works out that way. But I have to make the assumption that just by passively keeping it in my mouth, it loses 100% of its value. When he puts it into my mouth, it's still valuable if I spit it out right away. If I keep it in my mouth and let the enzyme start digesting it, then it becomes, you know, maybe it's physically good for something, but you couldn't sell it for any amount of money because it's too gross and it loses 100% of its value. If you're not willing to make that assumption, then I admitted, there are two other ways you could understand Rashi. Another way you can understand Rashi is what the stifler does. The stifler, that was in brackets with the Rosh Hashanah, says that Rashi is lav davka, havenasa lizela, like the Ritva. That really, lav davka, Rashi means that by passively keeping it in your mouth, you steal it, and he means the he means the same as the Ritva. This would then be against Rashi, all over Shas, who says you can't be a passive goslin. Lachor, what you'd have to say is, we're not getting into this now, maybe we'll get into this a little later, we will have a chance, not to worry, by the time we get to the end of the parak, we will, Mirz Hashem, have learned most of the common book Mitzia, so we'll get to revisit these inyanim. I mean, look, brachas, we're not going to learn in this parak, but the common book Mitzia we should be able to cover fairly well. Maybe you would have to say then, that, like the pshat of the Imre Moshe, what does the Imre Moshe say? Dirak Gneva Tzorech Maisa V'lo Gzela. Okay, this is a whole chakira that we're not going to use. Now, the Imre Moshe, when he discusses the Rashi's all over, the Imre Moshe, Moshe Sokolovsky, I think it might be called the Shut Imre Moshe, but it's not a Shut. It's like, you know, the question, this simon is Levar Sogya de Kim Levarmine, and that's Sogya Levar Sogya de. He's a Talmud of Rav Chaim, and he has a very, very nice Brisker Lumdus. So he says that Rashi doesn't have to be, he's not addressing this Rashi, but he says in Jet, or maybe even does, I don't remember. He says, no, the Rashi in the three places in Shas only said Gneva needs a Maisa. He never said Gzela needs a Maisa, so if we were talking about Gzela, maybe Gzela doesn't need a Maisa, only Gneva does. Why should there be a difference in Gneva and Gzela? Because the Gemara says the reason that that Gneva is high of Kefel more than Gzela is because of the way in which you did it, that you were mashva, that you worried about people catching you and not about about Hashem. So it could be that Gneva, the Machayev of Gneva, to be high of Kefel is doing a mice in a certain way. But it could be that the Machayev of Gezel, to be high of Karen, is just having someone else's money. So that's a big Hakira, which maybe we'll have a chance to get to. Is Gneva one kind of action, Gzela a different kind of action? Or no, is Gneva kind of action and Gzela kind of result that you have someone else's money? So it could very well be that Rashi here could mean Gezel, could mean the same as the Ritva, and it wouldn't be Lushitase, but it wouldn't be a Stira, because you can always say like the Imre Moshe that differentiate between Gezel and Gneva.
We bring the Raya from Rashi about 12 Lucia, about a Chutzer, whether you mean Das or not. But with Das, this is more Indian of Yad, not Chutzer. And we had that Yad could be Chutzer, but also Yad could be something else. It could be a stronger team.
That's interesting. Maybe you could say there's a difference in Yad and Chutzer, that in your actual body, even without a Maisa, is a more powerful Maisa Kinyan. Maybe because you're physically involved in it. So that's also true. I think that's a very good point. Could be that Rashi just meant you need some physical involvement of your guf. So a chutzer doesn't work without a maisa. But if it's your guf anyway, maybe you don't need a maisa. Okay, great. I agree. Or you could say that yad or gufo doesn't need a maisa. Only chatzero needs a maisa. Why? Because chatzero, you have no physical involvement unless you do a maisa. I think you're absolutely right. Okay, so no problem. We can say Rashi means the rich and there's no machlokas. What we can also say is, to get out of this whole issue, and this is, I saw in the footnotes in the Nosad of Kuk Shittim Gubetzes, he doesn't quote names. He says, the Achronim, when interpreting what the Shittim Gubetzes says Rashi means, were divided whether they mean A or C. Okay, he doesn't quote what he means, but apparently, when you read this, Shittim Gubetzes is a long essay about what Rashi means. And he sounds like A, but his lashon is not the crispest, so you can't be sure. So it could be that what Rashi really means is that he's not talking about what we think he's talking about at all. What he really means is that the beginning of swallowing is Mechayev Momo. The beginning of the swallowing is Mechayev Momo. He doesn't mean, even though his Lashon is, when you don't spit it out, right? His Lashon is Kilo Ahadra. Maybe you could say he doesn't really mean not spitting it out. He means not spitting it out and starting to swallow. When you swallow it the first bit, let's say it goes from the top of the throat to the middle, that's Mechayev Momo, but only when it goes to the bottom is it Mechayev you Mamon and only the, let's say,
you don't think it's at the onset, according to the Sheet and the Kubetz?
Swallowing.
Because it'll fit with the Ritzba also coming up.
A little, that is true, one second, a little bit into your throat is Mechayim Mamon. And he's not talking about passiveness at all. And swallowing all the way down is Mechayiv Misa, and really, you could say, let's say, swallowing into the top of your throat is Mechayiv Mamon, swallowing to the bottom of your throat is Mechayiv Misa. Maybe Rashi is not talking about passively keeping your mouth at all, and that's not what Rashi meant. Rashi really meant to be swallowing it, getting it into the top of your throat is Mechayiv Mamon, getting to the bottom of your throat is Mechayiv Misa, and he wasn't talking about being passive at all. And therefore, it's not L'shitase or a question that needs to be answered. It has nothing to do with Rashi Bava Metzia whatsoever. And that would not necessarily explain why he said Mazik as opposed to Gezel. I admit. But that would also be a possibility. Then he could have said either Mazik or Gezel, whatever he wanted. So maybe once he was talking about swallowing, he decided to talk about Mazik. So there are three ways to interpret Rashi's Kavana. Either he means passively, and he really means Mazik, and he's L'shitasim Bav Metzia, or he means passively Gezel, and this is different from the case of Bav Metzia, or he doesn't really mean being passive at all. He really means the beginning of swallowing, which is definitely what Shidin Gezel thinks Tosus means, and maybe what he thinks Rashi means as well, and then it would have nothing to do with the Gemara and Bav Metzia, with Rashi and Bav Metzia. Okay, leaving this aside, the next issue we dealt with was the next line of the Gemara was I lo matzi laduri, right? I lo matzi lahadura dure amai chaya, right? Meaning your pupper. And here we had three pshatim in the Rishonim what this means, right? Hotter from what? So Rashi says hotter from misa, right? And we're not sure what he means, but if you read him the Duyuk, and this is clearly how the Kuntresin in the Shidu Lubet says, read him, Pater mi Misa, but you're Chayav Mamon. Pater no Kim Ramne, because you're Pater from Misa. Right? This bracket is added by the Kuntresin. Again, not Rashi the Kuntresin, it means the later notes on Tosfos. This is Rashi. The Tosfos, I think was the re-talking, says no. Pater mi mamon, but your chayav misa, if it was bertzono, meaning it could have been bertzono, maybe you let him stick it down your throat, then you'd be chayav misa, but you'd be pater from mamon. And we have the Ritzva, who may have been interpreting Rashi, may have been just saying on his own, and Artos sounds like he's just saying similar to Rashi. Pater mi misa, ooh, mi mamon. So what we have here is not one three-way machlokus, as I already said yes the last time, but two-way machlokus. So machlokus one is chiyuv is about the chiyuv misa, right? And this we already had on the board. I don't think we need to repeat it. Right, the V says that you're chayav because it could be mirtzono, meaning he admits if it's not mirtzono you're chayav, but it could have been mirtzono, and therefore if we assume that it could be mirtzono, then you'd be chayav misa. The Rashi and the Ritzva say potter. Why are you potter from misa? Because mirtzono, it's hard to potter from misa, so it must be. Because it must be le'onso, right? It must be you didn't let him. They're not arguing that the din of chayav misa. Everyone agrees if someone stuffs something down your throat and you don't let them, you're pater. Obviously. Happy. It's not your fault. Everyone agrees if you tell someone to stick it down your throat, you're chayav. Otherwise, you can just tell someone to put all trays down your throat. The question is just no kinta. The re says it could be merit. So no, that's the real machlokus. The real machlokus is not machlokus about misa, but about the Yochimta of the Gemara. They're not arguing about the rules of Chiyuv Misa. They're arguing about the Yochimta of the Gemara. Right? The Ri says the Yochimta could be Mirtzono. And Rashi and the Ritz say the Yochimta has to be not Mirtzono. Why? And here we saw a few Shatim. I mentioned two. There are others in brackets. The Ritva says, based on the Diyuk Lashon, I guess I'll add at least one of the brackets. One of the brackets I don't understand very well, the Rabbeinu Ephraim, so maybe we'll leave that for now. But the other bracket I put in here was the Shita Yishana. The Shita gives another technical answer. The Shita Yishana says, because of a... why must it be loan sum? He says, because psychologically, no one really thinks their friend's going to stick it so far down their throat. Even if he told him to stick it in his throat, he didn't think that he'd stick it all the way down his throat. So he just says that diuk in lashon, that a diuk in psychology, no one really meant to allow tchiva limakom she'i efshar l'hach zero. Says, what do you mean? Even if the guy told him to stick it in my throat, it can't be. No one ever really wants their friend to stick it all the way down their throat where you can't even spit it up anymore. No one ever have rutzel to let their friend do that. Okay, so not a diuk in psychology, but an umdina, right? I would say not a diuk, but an umdina. These are both technical answers. And we have the interesting Ritzva, who said, because if it was Ratzon, he would be Chayav Mamon earlier as soon as it enters his mouth. He would be chayav moment earlier as soon as it enters his mouth, and then it would be the same case as Matzi Ladurei, chayav moment earlier, and then we just, the Rav Chanan pointed out, at least Morty, I think, was the one who suggested a different, or maybe it was Aaron who suggested a different interpretation, I forget, and what Rav Chanan says here is, the one that was, says, this is the machlokes that we mentioned earlier, that the Ritzba holds that you can have Zela without a Maisa. Right? I didn't do a Maisa. He just put it in my throat and that would be Zela. While the Ri would hold, who doesn't agree with that, says that you can't have Zela without a Maisa. And even if this is not Machlokas Rashi and Ritva there, it's Machlokas Ri and Ritva here. Although we pointed out you could get out of it. Okay, that's where we left off. Let us now go to the second Machlokas, which we haven't touched on at all, which is very fascinating, which is Machlokas 2. What does that mean? If my friend sticks it down my throat to where it can't be retrieved anymore, now again, whose fault is it that he stuck it down my throat? Mine or his? What? Whose fault is it that he stuck it down my throat? My fault or his fault? In Dina Mamonis. What? Aha, okay, let's think about this. Let's say he damaged it by sticking it all the way down my throat. If he did it on his own, it's obviously his fault. What if I told him to do it? If I tell you to damage someone's property, whose fault is it? It's his fault because the rule of Einstein Barabera. When it comes to eating, there's no shlichus for eating. So if I tell you to stick my throat and I eat it, I'm the one who ate it. When it comes to damaging, whether I told you to damage, you did it on your own. When it comes to damages, Einstein Barabera, you're hired for damaging. So I didn't damage it. I think it's pushed. I don't think you have any choice, to the best of my knowledge, say, I didn't damage it. You stuck it down my throat where I couldn't spit it out anymore. Right? So I didn't damage it. So, mitzad mazik, I think it's pashut de potter. Right? Because ancient of our favor. We know if I tell you to damage someone else's property. Even then, I give you a torch and say, go burn down someone's house. I'm potter, you're chayiv. What's the tzad to say that I should be chayiv mamon then? That there's machlokas. Remember the machlokas. What's the machlokas? Rashi says chayiv. the Ri and the Ritzvah, and I would add Rabbeinu Tam, because in the Tosus Rush they quote Rabbeinu Tam, even though in our Tosus they don't say Pater. What the Yisoda that Mitzad what does Rashi think you're Chayev? I don't think you can say Mitzad Mazik, because Mitzad Mazik, I was passive, you did all the Hezek, and whether I told you or whether I didn't tell you, it's your fault, you have to pay, not me. So Mitzad what does Rashi say Chayev? Exactly. Rashi says Chayev Mitzad Hana'ah. Chayev Mitzad Hana'ah. We know that even though here Rashi doesn't say anything, but we know in the next Rashi talks about Chayev Mitzad Nene, and this of course brings up the famous sugya in Bava Kama Daf Chav of Zenene. Now of course this is Zenene V'zeh. Simple pshat. The other guy's chaser or not. Simple pshat, the other guy's chaser, right? Zenene V'zeh chaser. You lost your food, and I gained nutrition and satiation. So Mitzad Hana, meaning Zenene V'zeh chaser, right? There's a whole sugya. The sugya is famous for Zenene V'zeh lo chaser, right? That's the famous sugya. That's the Ibayin Bava Kama. Zenene V'zeh lo chaser. But the background of that sugya is they say, well, Zenene V'zeh chaser pashut, right? That's pashut that I'm chayiv. That there's nothing to talk about. That's a before Mishnah and Bava Kama. That Zenene V'zeh chaser is chayiv. My animal is your food, and I'm then, and you're chaser, then for sure.
It's not clear, really,
is that Inechnami, correct. Now, let's go to the Bali Tosos, right? The Bali Tosos, at least most of them, hold that you're a potter. Oh, they admit your neck. Oh, I don't know if they admit anything. It seems like Zenenev Zechasser, so why are you potter, right? They have to have an explanation. Why are you potter? So how many different explanations do we see in the Bali Tosos as to why you're potter? So what is more you want to say?
You ruined it before you had any chaser, so the guy was miyai, she doesn't have any.
Exactly, it wasn't chaser. That is the re in our Tosfos, right? That's the re. sorry. The venir the re. Even though we know that if you eat someone's food, you're chayiv, even if someone else already stole it, you're still chayiv. Right? Meaning, gonavachar ganav might be potter and chayiv, but someone who actually eats something that was already stolen is still chayiv, at least before Yeish, which was not the case. So he says, no problem. When am I chayiv for zenenev zechaser, for eating or for damaging someone else's stolen property, when it's still there? It's still worth something by the time I start doing what I'm doing. But over here, what does he say? Let's read the Lashon. Aval hachad b'shosh zenene mimenu kvar hu avod min ha'olam shu b'makam dul efshu la'adura ein lo anal sheni klon. By the time I'm nene, it's gone. It's already worthless. I know it's physically still there in my throat. From a nutrition perspective, it's still there in my throat, very good to eat. But from an economic perspective, it disappeared. It's gone. Because once he stuck it so far down that I can't cough it out of my throat, so it's worthless. It's from an economic perspective, it's been burnt and disappeared. So therefore, now, he's coming from a few angles, saying, am I a mazik? Am I a gazlan? Am I a nene? He's saying, I'm not anything. I'm not chayavalt anything. Because it's already, because it's already gone. So what does Tosus say? So, why? So the Re says, basically, he says, this is not chaser. I would say it's even more than just, you can call it not chaser. It's more than just not chaser. It's not just not chaser. It's not there at all, right? But it's not chaser. It's actually not even there at all. Because... if I'm net of your things, Zuto Sholiyom, so person not chayiv. So this is the Re, says the Re, it's not because it's already worthless, because it's already worthless by the time I get involved. Okay. What does anyone else say maybe in the Tosfos Rush? Are there any other explanations as to why I should be putter for paying for my hanah? The Re says, because by the time I was nene, by the time I was then, it was worthless. Okay, so I didn't do anything. Anyone think of any other explanations? Or remember from the Tosfos? Yes?
This isn't an
Anah. Why isn't this an Anah? Exactly. That's what... It, I don't know if it's quoted by name in the Tosfos Rush. What happened to Yalkut, Likut, whatever you call it, Mefarshim used to have? I think he doesn't put it for a name. It's like parallel to Likut the Mitzvah, but he doesn't... I don't think he necessarily quotes it from a name, but we'll just call it the Tosfos Rush. Tosfos Rush says, because it's not Nana. Why is it not Nana? I'm getting food. So the answer is, because, I mean, it's an interesting question. Like, clearly, it's a little tricky. Like, if you ask a economist, you know, or I don't know, an economist. I don't know, you ask a doctor, like, am I healthier now than I used to be? Is my body worth more now than it used to be? Sure, do you have extra nutrition? You have more calories in your stomach, right? But I think what the Tosfos Rush is saying is that don't look at it. We're not mere physical machines, right? We're not just physical machines. We are emotional, psychological beings. And when he says that, you know what? Obviously, now I'm fuller than I used to be, and I have more nutrients in my stomach. But you stuffed it down my throat. Like I'm a lazy guy, and I relax in my lounge chair, and you feed me peeled grapes. No, you stuck it down my throat in a way that probably hurt, that was very unpleasant. Says, that's not called hanah to people. To get a couple of calories and an ounce full of food in my stomach, and in order to have to, you know, undergo that kind of operation, that kind of procedure, it's not worth it. Baharaya, you offer someone delicious, nice-looking, nutritious food, and you say, but only if I stick it all the way down your throat. Of course they'll say no. Right? So he says, this is not called nana, because you don't enjoy. It's a little tricky. Like, you did have a physical benefit, but if you look at it not physically, but psychologically, holistically, no, it wasn't worth it. You're not happier now than you used to be. You might have more nutrition than you used to have, but you're not happier than you used to be. Because you don't enjoy being force-fed. Right? No one enjoys being force-fed. We don't use that kind of force. Right, even that kind of force they don't enjoy. But we hope maybe that, you know, it'll be...
Doesn't the fact that the Chavero is doing it by coercion, doesn't that itself factor into the relative Hanah?
That's what Tosfos Rush might be saying. I think it's close enough to the Tosfos Rush. However, I think we're being Tom says.
If you think that you're enjoying it, but that's another stage, doesn't it go down one darga just by somebody else doing the coercion?
Could very well be. Maybe it wouldn't go down enough, though, if not for the fact they actually stuck it down your throat, and that's probably unpleasant. But I hear. Ravinu Tam, I think, is something else in the Tosfos Rush. I don't know if anyone noticed. Who has... Some people have Ozva Hadars here, no? Doesn't that have the Tosfos Rush in the back? Do you have an Ozva Hadar?
Yeah, mine doesn't.
No one does.
Okay, I'm not holding all the... okay. That's a game where he's the king of a chorus. Says the, okay, you had this one. But in the beginning, what does he say? He says, Umafarish Rabbeinu Tam. The Rabbeinu Tam there is parallel to the read here in terms of what he says. Meaning, Rabbeinu Tam, the read in our Tosos, and Rabbeinu Tam Tosos Rush. But he says it for a different reason, I think. Let's look what he says. Farsh Rabbeinu Tam, it might be similar. Amai Chayv Tashlumin, why is Chayv Tashlumin? Anus hu hov lo motzi la durein. He's anus because he can't spit it out. What does Rabbeinu Tam seem to say? There's no chiv zenenev zechaser if you're anus. How can you be chayv if you're anus? It's when you have to pay money, when you're anus. That doesn't make any sense. Right? And to see the Shita Rabbeinu Tam, you don't even need the Tosfos Rush. Because if you look even on our daf, I don't know, I have an old-fashioned film, the Shas, which has the Tosfos Hashanim, like in small print on the side. I don't know, where do the newfangled people have Tosfos Hashanim? Where do you have Tosfos Hashanim? Same place? Oh, great. Okay. Some on the left, some on the right. If you look in the bottom left corner, it also quotes Rabbeinu Tam and the Tosfos Hashanim here. And in the second half, first it starts Rabbeinu Tam Pirush, then it says, V'im Tomer. V'im Tomer, V'heyach Yishayiv Mamon Kevin Shnachlo Ones. How can you be Chayav if he stuck it in your mouth, but ones? He says, in the case where you could have spit it up on the Erev, that's not onus, because you're agreeing by not spitting it up. But the obviously diuk, if we assume this is reading the Tanakh in the summer, it was reading the Tanakh in the beginning, the diuk is that if you would have stuck it all the way down, you'd be punched every time onus. So already on our daf until the Shana, you have a hint that Irving and Tom holds this, and it's explicit in the Tosos Rush.
Even assuming
what? No, I mean, the Tom assumes that the case is a case of. It's actually a little more complicated. Sorry, I'll take the Tom back. What Rabbi Tom says? Lo hayasomer shiyase dimer yom dimer kavu to rishonin. So here, Rabbi Tom is actually a mocker of the shiti shana that I put here, right? He says, even if you told me to do it, it's really bonus, because you didn't think you would stick it all the way down your throat.
Yeah, but wasn't he saying that you're chayim misa, though? And that, I mean, that would be true of the money, so that's not the shit you're trying. He was still saying that you're chayim misa. That was, I don't understand that, but I think it was a tour for money.
Yeah, you're right. Rabbi Yitam says you're potter from money, ba'ones, but you're chayav misa because you didn't object.
Right.
So it's a little funny. If it's really an ones, you should be potter from both. If it's really not an ones, you should be chayav in both.
Different level of ones.
Ora. Yeah, I mean, he might end up being more similar to the Re than we think in the end. I don't know if that's what you have in mind. First let's write what he says. He says that Nene, or Zen Nene Vzeh Chasha, that's what he sounds like, said, is not Chayav the Onus. Now, Daniel has a good question, which is, why does Rabbeinu Tam think Rabbeinu Tam is the re here? You're chayiv misa because it wasn't ones le'inyan misa. Why? Because you could have objected. But you're potter from mamo because it was ones le'inyan mamo. So that's a little funny. Then obviously it's not really ones. It's more of just a the pashiv shot would be okay. Either you have to say there's different gedarim of ones. For Misa and for Mammon. For Mammon is the rule of Lanaro Sasa Davar, and therefore it doesn't rise to that level of onus because it's a Mitzvah. It could have been Soik, right? So we know if you could have been, it could have objected, that's not onus. For Dini Mammonos, you don't need a full onus to be Potter. For Dini Mammonos, or at least for Mazik and things like that, then you're only chayiv, you have some level of pshia. As long as you don't have pshia, that onus is good enough. So maybe that's what he means. Or maybe what he means is that, so you're right, I hadn't thought this through fully. Either you have to say that by dinim mamonos, it's not below naron sasadavar, you're only potter if you have some level of pshia, and it's enough of an onus that's not called pshia, which we'll come back to. Or you have to say that what he really means is not that you're potter because you're onus, even though that's what he says. You're potter because it's the other guy's fault, not yours. When it comes to Achila, Misa, you're the one who ate it. The other guy is not a candidate for being chayiv. He didn't eat anything. When it comes to Mammon, since he took all the responsibility and not you, that's really what he means by your onus. And then you'd be a lot closer to the re, meaning someone else already ruined it. Although it wouldn't be someone doing it as Lashon. So okay, maybe it would have been nicer if the Ritzvah said onus. Maybe he would have. I don't know. He's not 100% clear. So I admit that needs a little eon.
How can you say like the Tosfos on Rosh? That he's not talking about the halachic category of onus. He's just talking about the onus is not hanah. They don't go together. It's just like the Tosfos on Rosh.
That's not what Rabbeinu Tam sounds like. Meaning, first of all, because that's later than Joseph's Rosh, he sounds like that's something different than Rabbeinu Tam. But also, it's not what his Lashon sounds like, although Yesh L'Ayin. Now, let me ask a interesting question here. What is, obviously, Rashi disagrees with all of these Svaras, right? Meaning, if we assume like the Kondrasin, right? Rashi disagrees with all of the Svaras. If Tosfos comes with another 8 Svaras, he disagrees with them too, because he holds Taka, you're Chayav Bomi, you're only part of Ramisa. So, And not only that, it could be that each of these Bali Tosos disagrees with the other Bali Tosos. Although, that's not Mokra. It could be they just pick different things to say, or they really disagree with each other. Why would you disagree with these different Svaras? Why does Rashi disagree with each of these Svaras? So, let's just go a little more colorful. What does Rashi think? So here, who answered for Rashi? Who explained in... how would you explain why, according to... one second. How do you explain according to Rashi, like why you're chayav for nene if it's already worthless by the time you ate it? What would you what would you answer probably? No, because Rashi holds even if someone sticks it to a place where yachal adur el diachak, it's worth nothing. Certainly, if someone sticks it to some place where it's Now she says you're chayav for nene. Chored, yeah, chored. That's what you have to say. You have to say what. Hold on a second. L'chora Rashi would say, and we'll see this a little later, Tosafot Bava Kamma is going to say on his behalf of the next line of Gemara, Rashi would say, that the Chisaron, the other guy just did counts. It's mitzvah to my handah. Even though I didn't do a chisaron, and not only that, the chisaron was already done, that chisaron joins together with my handah and makes me chayiv. That's the horror of what Rashi would have to say.
You also have that it could be something that's not most. It's, you take it out, physically nothing's happened, you wash it off. Where's something to somebody else?
You can't say that about something that went to a place where it's EF Shalach Zero. Because the EF Shalach Zero, you can't take it out. So it's for sure worth
it. Before it went down.
No, but that's the next line anymore. Here, it's already so far down you can't spit out. So the Chor, you have to see the Rashi that Chisaron that someone else did, A, that's not the same person, and B, that's not the same time that already happened, right? That the other guy already did. Basically, is Mitzareif to your Hana. That's what he'd have to say against the Reed. What would he have to say against the Tosfos Rosh there? I don't know, you could argue with Tzias, you learn how you look at things. He would say that this is called Hana. Why is it called Hana? You could say, maybe the argument how people feel, or maybe the argument how to judge Hana. Do you judge Hana more psychologically or more physically? Okay, Rashi says physically it's Hana, even if psychologically you didn't like it. How about Rabbeinu Tam? What would Rashi Lechor have to say? He'd have to say that Zen Nene Vzechaser is Chayav even Ba'onis. Right? That's Lechor, what Rashi would have to say. Now, it could be that that you put together these Rashis and it starts to perhaps tie into a famous hakira about, you know, like, let's think of this question. Zenan of Zelo Chasar Ba'onis. What would you think? Let's say you didn't know any lumpus. You didn't know any sugin of Baba Kama. I told you, like, I was Nana from your chisaron. I, like, ate your thing. But Ba'onis, should I be chayiv or putter? Well, Rabbi Tam thinks putter. Rashi obviously thinks chayiv. Right? Or, if the contrasts are correct. So you would say putter. Why would you say putter? Because... Okay, great. So what's the tzad to say chayiv?
I mean chayiv isn't the worst thing in the world. Like, you're not like, nothing, you didn't do anything wrong.
So if you're not paying for what you did wrong, you're not paying for what you did like we blame you. Rather, why are you paying?
You're paying because of the mitzvah.
Meaning, let's take a classic example, right? If I went to the store, and I don't know, you like to eat lettuce. I went to the store, I took lettuce, but onus, I put the lettuce in your fridge. But you can say, I don't have to pay. I mean, you can give the lettuce back if you want, but obviously you have to pay. Oh, you didn't do anything wrong. Doesn't matter that you did anything wrong. If you get something, you have to pay for it, quid pro quo. You have to pay for, not for doing something wrong. You have to pay the exchange for what you got. That's not a it's not a principle of wrongdoing of responsibility. It's not responsibility. It's called fairness. Fairness, not the onus. If I got your money but onus, I still owe it back to you. That's pushing. If you lent me money but onus, I don't have to pay it back. Of course I have to pay it back. Why? Because if I have your money, it's only fair to pay you. If I got your cow, it's only fair to give you the market value of a cow. It's not because I did something wrong to you. It's just because out of equity, there's a principle of quid pro quo. I have to, if I benefit from you, I have to pay you the price.
I remember that the Russian yeshiva used to write stories and send them out to everybody with an envelope. Now, I don't remember who, but they passed them that if you don't want the safe, or you don't have to send it back because that costs you money, and you don't have to pay for it if you're not interested. Nobody, you didn't ask for the safe.
Okay. So, correct, meaning that they haven't done that for a long time.
Yeah,
but in the old days, before my time even, that was the common minhag. They would just mail the safer to everyone. I'm not quite sure how polite I would consider it, but whatever, that was the minhag olam. So, you know, I guess it's somewhat maybe culturally dependent.
They didn't know.
Yeah. So that's a good question. So why don't I have to pay for the safer? So l'chora, the answer is, because you have to look at the definition of hana. Okay, this is a subtlety. Now, if you actually looked at the Rashi Mukhei Yosef and put in brackets, you would be even more subtle about this. But what does the Gemara say? We have to define what we mean by hana and chisaron. Hana doesn't just mean that I got something. Chisaron doesn't just mean that you lost something. Hana means I got something that's valuable to me. Chisaron means you lost something that's valuable to me. What does the Gemara say? If I live in your house without permission, is that called hana in the jargon and in the lingo of the Gemara in Bava Kama? What does that depend on?
Whether you were going to rent.
Whether I would have had to pay rent someplace else. Right, if I have a house that I leave empty and I move into your house next door, that's not called hana. Because I'm not gaining. I had a house anyway. If, however, I needed a place to live and I move into your house, that's called hana because I'm gaining. So I think the same thing here. Over here, if someone feeds me, everyone needs food, so I'm gaining. Now, of course, if we push it to Rashi, this goes without saying. I think you might not even have said it because it goes without saying. That when we talk about the hana, when we're not paying for mazgor gezel is this part of the board. Now we're talking about hana. Of course, if you feed me $10 worth of truma, it doesn't mean, or $1 worth of truma, it doesn't mean I have to pay $1. Who says my hana was $1? My hana was however much I would have spent to get that much food. That's the word says my comment to me. Armor bezol, so orim bezol, like if my animal eats your things, I don't have to pay what they were worth. I have to pay how much I would have had to spend to feed my animals. So that's why you didn't have to pay for the safer in the old days. Because that's not even enough. If I got a safer that I didn't want and wouldn't have bought anyway, then I'm not nene. The fact that I now have an additional thing in my house, I don't know, maybe I'm the only one in this room, I'm not going to accuse anyone else, having an additional thing in your house does not necessarily make you better off, I've learned. So I would just maybe add a kinach to the psak, which you heard, which was well known at the time. If a random rabbi sends you a sefer that you didn't want and would never have bought, you don't have to pay him because you're not nana. Why am I nana? Just because I have a piece of junk in my house. Okay, it's a very holy piece of junk, and it's not junk. It's holy divrei Torah, and yikari himi pninim. But to me, it's worthless. However, if it's something, let's say you say, the rabbi sent it to me and said, please remit $10 for the safer. You say, you know what? No idiot would ever pay $10 for the safer. But I would have paid $1 for the safer. Then you might, at least according to Rashi, you'd be high, send him $1 at least. Because that's what you were nana, according to Rashi. Meaning it was bonus. Right? But according to Rashi, you'd probably be high, send him $1 because you were nana. So that's what I think. Rashi would say, bonus. you are chayav to send the guy if you're a nana. However, 90% of the people weren't nana. They would have paid 0 cents for this book. They would have paid someone a penny to take the book out of their house. And that's why they didn't have to pay. But, you know, if it was me, I don't know. And Rashi was right. I might have ended up having to send a lot of money because I'm a sucker for Svarim. And I wouldn't necessarily pay a lot of money, but I'm a sucker for Svarim, you know, and Svarim on sale. So forget it. That's enabling my habit.
Put your hands on the board.
Yeah. So, okay. Now, let's go back to this question. So, Yosef, what do you want to ask?
In that case, if you would learn from this,
Jonathan?
What? If you would learn from the Sefer Yevamot, Rabbi Yonatan would hold that you're not
the could be, quite possibly, Enochanami, quite possibly. Again, no one ever learned from this far. Because they weren't necessarily meaning... they weren't. It's not like they were publishing like Shas and like Shulchan Aruch and sending it out to people. Everyone was writing up some Chiddush, and there were very few people who necessarily wanted to read the Chiddush of that particular rabbi. You know, it wasn't Rabbi Yeager sending out the Sfarim, even though it was very, you know, big Talmid Chachamim, but not necessarily ones that anyone ever read. But in a Chachamim, I agree. Okay, now what we've now discovered is we have a Shtikel Chakira in terms of Zen Nene. Is it about what I did wrong? Or is it just about the principle of quid pro quo that if I get something, I should pay the price regardless of what I did? Basically, what is the tashlum of Zen Nene of Vizechoser? Is it a tashlum of is it the principle of exchange? The principle of exchange. If I get something, I should, just like any moralist would tell you, if you do me a favor, I have to say thank you. Right? If I actually get your object and it's beneficial to me, then I should pay you the price. We see this in Halacha in a few places. For example, this old question, I'm not getting to Halacha L'maisa now, but we know that many people say if someone sets up your kid in a shidduch, then you have to pay them, even if you didn't ask them to. Why? Because, obviously not because you did any wrongdoing, because of the principle of fairness that you should pay someone if you got something from them. Exactly, based on the principle of your l'stechamero, exactly. Right, you're right. I mean, the modern day applications, you know, might depend on the circumstance and the context, etc. But the principle, I should have just stuck with the principle. Principle is in Gemara Bava Metzia, in the last parak, or if not the second to last, that your l'stechamero, even shelo brishos, if I go and plant your field or harvest your field or whatever it is, even without permission, in a way that is beneficial to you, then you have to pay me. Then you have to pay me. It's a principle. Obviously not because you did anything wrong. You have to pay me because of the principle of equity and quid pro quo. Or, the other option is no. It's because of what you did. What do you mean because of what you did? L'chor, because of some wrongdoing on your part. After all, I wasn't just nene. I took something from you, like in this case. I wasn't just like, I just sit there and be nana, I listen to you playing the violin and I'm so nana. No, I just ate your food and it's gone. Okay, so it's not my fault, but somebody got a potter. But it's because of wrongdoing. I think if you wanted to very pithily, like, express this hakira, the question would really be, is it the nana or the chaser? Am I chayiv because nana equity demands that I reimburse someone, not that I pay the price of my hana'ah, equity demands, right? What does the Mesil Shasharim and many other philosophers say? That why didn't Hashem just send us all to eternal bliss in Olam Haba without making us do things to earn it? Because, okay, there's actually different formulations there. But one of the formulations is because someone should earn things. Someone shouldn't get things for free. Or that's the nana. In which case, you could easily say, who cares if I'm honest or not honest? The Yor Tovstei Chavero, I was honest. I wasn't here at all. I was away. I was stuck overseas. They canceled my flight. I was stuck overseas. I didn't get home. And meanwhile, someone without my knowledge whatsoever came and did things. Why should I have to pay? The answer is, maybe because I just owned it if I wanted to. But the answer is because Zenana, because you should pay when you get something. The quid pro quo is an axiom, is a first principle. Or no, it's really because of the chaser, because I did something not nice to you. I did something wrong to you. Now, maybe what I did wrong to you, you know, would be a little hard to convict me for. Maybe, you know, I did it like Begrama, maybe I did it Ali Day Shliach, maybe I did it Hezek Sheino Nicker, maybe, you know, I did something wrong which maybe would be a little hard to catch me for, you know, but if I'm Nen, if I'm Mamish, you know, I didn't just like indirectly cause you some loss, but I actually took that loss for myself, then that really makes it much more wrong. Not just, I went around minding my own business, and you ended up losing money. You know what? That's life. I can mind my own business. I buy one stock, and that changes the market, and you lose money. Tough luck. That's life. You can't sue me every time I'm goring that you have some sort of hefset. I do something, and then someone else damages you. Okay, tough luck. Like, but if it's not just that I was minding my own business and ended up damaging you, I actually took the benefit of that damage, then what I did wrong is really wrong. Then you can really convict me for that. What are you going around damaging people? You know, like, take the example of the house. I lived in your house. Zen nanav zeh chaser. I saved rent and you lost rent. Because now people see me living in the house, and even though it says for rent outside, they see someone living in the house, and they don't call the number on the sign because they see someone's living there already. So I made you lose money. Could you have sued me for that? What, making you not get a customer is a grumma, you can't sue them. But if I actually took that benefit for myself instead, then that makes it much worse that I made you lose money. I made you lose money for my benefit. And therefore, I am chayav for the chisaron. Joel pointed out to me that the Rav has a very nice diuk about this, that the Rambam, where does the Rambam put this sugyan baba kama of zen nenev zechaser? In Hilchas Gzela. The Rav puts it in Hilchas Gzela. Sorry. Rambam puts it in Hilchas Gzela, and the Rav's medayik that no, the Rambam obviously helps a punishment for your wrongdoing, for your taking away from your friend, and not merely, he could have put it in Hilchas Mishpatim, Hilchas Schiras, right, that the Rav suggested, meaning about paying for business dealings, about being fair in business. No, he put in Hilchas Gzela, that seems to imply the other side of Akira, which we'll see. I don't know if it's Lishitase the Rambam, because the Rambam doesn't say that much, but it certainly works out to be Lishitase of the Rif, which, you know, that almost counts as Lishitase the Rambam, because 95% of the time the Rambam follows the Rif. So let's ask ourselves this question. Let's ask ourselves this question. Zenene Zechaser. What is the Machayev? Is it really the Hana'ez Machayev? No wrongdoing. Rather, just equity, right? Equity meaning fairness, right? Quid pro quo, I believe. I'm not a native Latin speaker. Maybe someone else here is. I don't know. I don't know if anyone here is still from the generation when you had to learn Latin in high school. Yeah? Okay. So I've been told that quid pro quo is, that's Bar Shef Taranu. I've been told that quid pro quo is a Latin phrase meaning that when you have to exchange one thing for another. So that's one way, or no. Really, be'ikar, the chisaron is machayev. You're chayev for being mazik or gozel your friend. Right? Now, hold on. If you cause the chisaron, is that mazik? See, the answer is always going to be a grumma or something like that. It's only a mazik al yidei grumma. But here's the Rav's diuk from the chisaron is machayev. It's, you did something wrong, right? Even though the hezek was begrama, like the original case in the Gemara there, right? What was the original case in the Gemara? Zenenev zeh lo chaser, or zenenev zeh chaser. I lived in your empty apartment, and that caused other people not to inquire and rent it out. from you. That causes you to lose the rent that some other person might have paid you. So that's clearly a grumma. That's called levatal kisha shachaveru. If I keep your business from making money, that's not actionable in halacha, even though the hezek was begrumma. Since I took the hana'ah for myself, I'm chayav. So the Rav viewed this based on the Digan the Rambam in why? Because hezek was almost chayav, but here it hezek means I damage you and I don't benefit. When I damage you and start benefiting, that already starts to sound like zela. So what's the difference between hezek and zela? I mean, I'm not promising you this is the right answer, but the simple though, hezek is I damaged you and got nothing out of it. Gezel, I took something from you and I get it. Right? So this already enters in the realm of gezel, and in the realm of gezel, obviously, I didn't steal it's not that I stole your apartment from you. Karka in an exelus. And if I actually would steal something, I wouldn't have to pay rent. That's a Gemara in Beth Tzadi Zion, or Tzadi Ches in Baba Kama. But it means I stole this hana'ah from you. Right? So therefore, I'm chayiv either because of Zela, which is how the Rav learned it. The Rav. Or you could say some of the other achronim, or because of Mazik. And even though the Mazik is indirect, the fact that I was Nana connects me more to that Hesek. Right? Because of Mazik and the Hana'ah is Mitzarif, me, to the hezek. So basically, what the hana'ah does is makes me chayav for hurting you. But is it for hurting you or for gaining? That's the chakira. And here the Rav had a diuk, a Rambam, that he put it in Hilchas Zela and not anywhere else. Now, what do we want? Well, before we get back to our sugya, now you'll tell me, well, what are the obvious two nafkaminas to this chakira, whether you're really chayav for the nen or for the chaser? The obvious two nafkaminas. Like another classic example is the apartment, or if my dog is hungry and eats your food. So now I don't have to buy dog food, right? I was nanny for chaser, so I have to pay. What are the obvious two nafkaminas? Just before you even think. Exactly. What if you have one without the other, right? Shouldn't there be the obvious nafkamina? So one nafkamina might be zenene. What if I was Nana and you weren't Chasser Taka? What does that mean? Like all the Americans in Jerusalem nowadays, right? There's a lot of Bliya and Hara, rich people who own apartments in Jerusalem. They come for, when do they come? For Pesach and Sukkot and midwinter break. And whenever else they come. And it's pasnish to rent it out the rest of the year. I'm a poor person. I have to rent out my apartment. So it just sits empty. To give, the politicians want to talk about when they discuss our no-no. So it just sits empty. So I go and I squat in the apartment. So I was Nana. I talk at saved rent. Instead of paying rent, I squat in the apartment. They weren't chaser. Like, I clean up after myself. They don't notice the loyalty of the sheikh of Kuma. And it doesn't hurt anyone. So am I chayav or not? That's the Ibaya in the Gemara in Baba Kama, right? That's the Ibaya, right? What's the Lashon of the Gemara in? Excuse me. Sorry. In Baba Kama, Daf Chaf. The Gemara says, we had a great Ibaya. Geshmak Ibaya. You see, like the Amara, and like they're real yeshiva shefellers. Says, well, how does God more to betchuma the ibay lamilu? Oh, you missed the base medrash last night. Boy, did we have a good sugya there. Boy, was it geshmak. I'm right, milu mal yasa. Amalei hadavar chazar yeshal v'dayt yisharach alos l'schari in sarach. If you squat in someone's house, you have to pay the hechi dami. If you say he wasn't going to rent it out and you weren't going to pay rent, there's no hana, there's no kisara. Of course, you don't have to pay. We're not saying it's nice in Chachila. Still bad midos, but you don't pay. Elav chaser dekayim la'agur regarding the megers. The name is a chaser. If I'm saving rent and you're losing rent, I'm nana from your chisar, and of course I have to pay. That's like our case, right? I eat the food and you lost it. Elav chaser dekayim la'agur regarding lo tzricha chaser lo kayim la'agur regarding the megar. My no, you are the rich American with a holiday apartment in Yerushalayim. You weren't going to make money anyway. You haven't lost anything. It's in pristine condition. You haven't lost anything, but I gained something because you know how much I would have had to pay in Yerushalayim for rent? Through the roof. And now I saved all that money. Thousands and thousands of shekel a month I saved. So I was Nehmeh, but you weren't Chasser. That's the Ivaya. Okay, so it sounds like maybe they're Balachir. What's the Maskana? Anyone know what the Halach is? Halach Lamaisa? What's the Halach Lamaisa? Yeah, if you didn't learn Rabbi Kami, you might not know this. We Paskin, through this, you could read the whole Sugya. You could read the whole Gemara to the end of the Sugya. And it's not 100% clear what the Maskana is. But, I don't know what I wrote here. I didn't write anything particular. But in the end, what the Gemara does say, sorry, not in the end of Ksubas, in the end of Rabbi Kama, it is a little complicated. But the Pashup shot is that I'll read you the Maskana of the Gemara. Says Maskana of the Gemara. Hachi Amar Amarish Meid Rav Einu Tzarech Lahalos Lo Schar. You don't have to pay. Then it says it again.
Assuming there was no damage.
Okay, so the mainstream halachic understanding, Ruba de Ruba de Ruba of Poskin, Shulchan Aruch, Rishonim, is that we Poskin Potter. That's the halach lemaisa. Zenev Zeluchasir is Potter. We're not saying it's okay lechachila. Lechachila, you shouldn't trespass on anything without permission. But okay, great, hold that thought. Says this is the Sakalocha and Rove Poskin, is that your Potter? What does that seem to prove? That seems to prove that no, it's only your chayiv for the chesaron damaging. If you didn't damage someone, you're not chayiv, right? So this is Nicha the Rove Poskin who read Maskanas HaSugya as Potter. Why are you Potter? There's no chesaron, you haven't done anything wrong. There is a Das Yochid, the Rabbeinu Yonah in brackets above Basra there, is a Das Yochid who Paskin Zenem Zelo Chasser is chayiv. And what does he say? The way he reads the Maskana of the Gemara, which actually not a crazy way, he says, you know why I'm potter for squatting your apartment? Because really I should be chayav, but I provided you a service by taking care of your apartment. Because you know, when apartments are empty, they get damaged. So okay, that's Rabbeinu Yonah. Rabbeinu Yonah says chayav. Oh, why do you chayav? There's no chisaron. Obviously, because he doesn't think it has to do with the fact that you hurt anyone. It has to do with the fact that you're a nen, and it's only fair to pay for what you receive. However, it doesn't seem to say that our Hakira is wrong, because forget about Adas Yachid. The Pashup Shad is then and Zelo Chasser is Potter. So doesn't that prove which side of our Hakira is correct? So almost, but already you see in the Pnei Yoshua and many other Achronim that I put on the Makorah sheets, that Reuven, what did you just quote me from the Pnei Yoshua? That really you could say, even for Rove Poskim, who say Potter, who says I'm Potter because there's no Chisaron and it's all about the Chisaron? Maybe I'm Potter for a side reason. What side reason might it be Potter for? Because Kofan Amida Stone, that's what the name Yeshua here says. That's what Tosos already hints at this. It's Mefurish Rav Yah that he quotes. Rav Yah even says Mutl Chachila because the Kofan Amida Stone. We don't go that far. Lechachila, you should ask permission. But certainly the Dieved says the Pnei Yeshua, even for during the Rav says something very similar. He says, no, really, even if you're chayiv for the Hanoah, the way the Rav calls it, are you chayiv for Schiras or for Gzela? Gzela meaning that I took away from you, or Schiras meaning that if I get something, I have to pay the price. That's business dealings. Is it a business dealing or is it a tort? So the Pnei Yeshua says, or even for Rav calls going to say Potter, it could be that you should be chayav, but are potter because of a external factor. What external factor? Such as kofen al midas stone. The Rav says it a little different. He says not kofen al midas stone, which is mechila. But it comes out to the same thing. Meaning, maybe really you should be chayiv. Maybe theoretically you could be chayiv even if you wasn't chaser. Really you should be chayiv. However, your potter for a side reason is kofen al midas stom, lemaisa yidin, should not be so makud with each other. So even though he could have sued you, we don't let him. So therefore, even according to Rove Poskim, you could say either side of this, this like you. You could say, you're chayiv for the chisaron, so when there's no chisaron, you're potter. Or no, you're chayiv for the hanah. Well, there's no chisaron, you're potter for a side reason, because we don't want to be midas stone. Okay. which is exactly, you know, part of the discussion now, the Yerushalayim, right? What are people saying? Ah, the people who have empty apartments all year long should let poor and students and, you know, and young people live in them. Alright, right. Not necessarily so posh. What? And pay and not pay. There's different proposals out there. Okay, not so push it. But I wouldn't want to have young people living in my apartment. And students living in my apartment. I don't know. I went to college. I know what students do. Okay, Nunu. Actually, it's interesting. I didn't put this on the Makora sheet. But another interesting Nafkina IB, and the Rub also talks about this in the part that was pointed out to me. What if... It's a little more complicated, we're not going to get into it, but could I be mechayev you? What if I said that, you know what, I want to be midas tov? What if I said, you know what, this is important to me, this is not midas tov, you know, I put my foot down. Could I potentially be mechayev you in zen nen of zelo chaser? The example is, what if the guy objects? What if the guy's mocha? What if the guy says, you should know, I want you to pay. This is not me, the stone. I have my reasons why this is very terrible in my eyes, and I'm not mochel. Like, what if the guy is mocha? Yeah, what if the guy is mocha? So that could theoretically be another nafkamina. What about zenene? Maybe, because I'm not going to get into all the details, and there are various complicated stories. Zenene zelo chaser. But if the owner objected, I mean, he objected later, then it's too late. Objected first, beforehand. And you went anyway. So that's a big report. It's a post, we're not going to get into it now, but easily you could say, look, if fundamentally you're damaging and he wasn't damaged, then you should still be potter. What do you mean? Fundamentally, you're potter because you didn't do anything wrong to him. Were you not nice? You were not nice. Were you obnoxious? You were obnoxious. But how can he sue you if he wasn't damaged? But if you say no, really you should have to pay for the hanah, except... That we think he's mochel, or mechila, right? That's the rub. The rub says mechila. Pnei Yeshua says kovod on the stone. Then maybe you should be chayiv. After all, really do have to pay for anah. So you'll have an excuse not to pay because you'll say, ah, come on, don't be so mean. Be a nice guy. But the guy objects and says, I'm not a nice guy. I have my reasons for not being a nice guy. It's valid for me to not be a nice guy. I have my chesed here. Then you should have to pay for anah, because be'ikaron you chayiv for anah. So that's a whole sugya in there, which could be an afkamina. Where the Pnei Yeshua starts, of course, meaning the Pnei Yeshua ends here. He starts with the other case, which is, ze lo neneh v'ze chaser. What does that mean? What if you lose money because now you're losing your other tenants? But I don't gain anything. I was just trying to annoy you. I talk to have a house. I own the apartment next door. To annoy you, I decide to move into your apartment, and then no other tenants come in. So am I chayiv or potter? This is a famous machlokas between. You're trying to make me a liar. Said it's a famous machlokas. So this is the famous machlokas over there in Baba Kama between Tosfos and the Rif. And that's how the Pnei Yeshua starts, by justifying Tosfos. What would you say? You would say it should depend on this Chakira. If it's all about paying for Hanah, if I didn't get Hanah, then I should be Potter. And this is Tosfos. Tosfos says, it's clear to them beyond a shadow of a doubt that I should be Potter, says Tosfos. Kevin Shalom Nana. I'm potter, I wasn't nana. Oh, Gar Hefzlach Habir, I was mafsid you. Who cares? Ainzel Grama Bialma. Who cares? I was mafsid with Grama. But if I wasn't nana, then potter, because he was not nana. What does the Rif say? The Rif says chayav, because, what's his phrase? Achal chesrono shel chaveiro. What does that mean? It says, you took his chisaron. You didn't benefit from his chisaron, because you had an apartment anyway, but you can't deny that you took something that was machzer him. Right? You were just indirectly machzer him. Indirectly, you ended up being machzer him. No, you physically came and took something that was machzer him. Now, here, there might be different ways of understanding, I admit, the riff. The Rush might have a way of understanding the Rif that's closer to Tosfos. Certainly, Yosef, quoting from the Ra'ah and the Yad Ramah, understands what's the Rif saying. the riff is, that was the riff saying, the riff is saying that you're chayv for a mazik, you're chayv for causing you a chisaron. Yeah, I'm not chayv for causing you a chisaron if it's very indirect. But if I was actually there and took the apartment for myself, I'm chayv for causing you a chisaron. I wasn't nana. Who cares that I wasn't nana? I'm chayv for causing you a chisaron. This seems to be a clear enough gemina. And then the Yad Rama and Tosos would be very nice l'shitasam, because here is the riff and the Yad Rama. First of all, the riff and the Rama would be nice l'shitasam. If you hold the riff of the Rambam or one shita, this is a general good default, because the Rambam puts in Hilchos Gzeila, and then the riff makes sense. Hilchos Gzeila is not about whether I benefited. It's about whether I took something that was yours, that made you lose money, whether I damaged you by taking your things. That's what Gezel is. To damage someone by taking something. I damage you by taking something. Who cares that I didn't make money? Right? Does it matter? If I steal something yours, does it matter if I need it? Does it matter if I make money? Does it matter if it's useful to me? No, it matters if it's useful to you. The other classic nafkamina is, what about, well, we have nana without chisar, we have chisar without nana. What about a case where there's a difference? You're nana and chasar, but the nana and chasar are very different amounts of money. Like classic case, what if I live in your house? You have an apartment in Yerushalayim. I live there for 3 months. Otherwise, I would have paid 5,000 shekel a month rent. I just gained 15,000 shekel. However, unlike the case I mentioned before, where I left it in pristine shape, v'chuli v'chuli, l'maisa, you know, there's some scratches on the cabinetry, and you know, there was some I don't know, there was a shiver in a balata, right? It turns out that I damaged you. You add it all up. You bring in a workman to fix it. You get an estimate. I damaged you 500 shekel. Right? So I was nana 15,000 shekel, and I damaged you 500 shekel. That's in the Lashon HaGemara called Shachrisa Dashyasa. Right? I lived in your house, I gained tons and tons of rent, but the walls got a little dirty. I left the walls dirty, it needs a new paint job. Ah! Called someone, do a paint job, cost 3,000 shekel, but I just gained 100,000 shekel, so what do I pay? Right? What if the hana is much more than, or a little more, but what if the hana is more than the chisaron? Right? What if the hana is more than the chisaron? That's discussed in the Gemara. The Gemara says, ah, zen nanav zel, the Gemara has a certain case where someone lived in a house. The Bava Kama says, that's not zen nanav zel chaser, that's chaser, because the walls got a little dirty. Okay, but what the Gemara doesn't say is, so how much does he pay? He pays to whitewash the walls, or he pays 50,000 shekel in rent. So, you know, he pays to fix a balata, to bring in a workman to fix a balata, or he pays, you know, Jerusalem rent. So it's not clear. What does Tosfos hold? Tosfos holds, well, what might we hope Tosfos would hold? If, based on this? Tosfos holds the whole thing, exactly. Tosfos says, Mishalim kol hahana. You pay everything, why? Because Tosfos is the Shitasay. All the effort I want to point out, Tosfos works out beautifully, L'shitasay. Tosfos says, I'm sorry, I apologize. Tosfos works out beautifully, L'shitasay. Tosfos says, really you're paying quid pro quo for the Hana'ah. It's not about wrongdoing. It's about getting Hana'ah. Yeah, if it was a free Hana'ah, then he should just let it go. But really you have to pay for Hana'ah. So, if I was netting $100,000 and I damaged you $100, and already it's not me the stone. Right? Already, it's you're upset. You have a valid reason for being upset. So once you're not local, I have to pay all $100,000. And that's Tosfos L'shitasay, that if I wasn't nana, even if I damaged you, I don't have to pay, because no hana. If I was nana ton, even if I only damaged you a little, or even if I didn't damage you at all, but you said that you were very machpin on this, then I should have to pay. The Yad Rama, and many people agree with Tosfos Taka, we don't know what the riff holds. The Yad Rama says that nope, mishalim rak hachisaron. When the Gemara say you have to pay because the walls got dirty, it didn't mean you have to pay rent. It just means you have to pay $100 to a guy to come and clean the walls. You have to pay for just for the cleaning. You only have to pay the chisaron. Why? L'chor the Yad Rama's b'derech hariff. He liked the riff in the last one and interpreted him with very clear lashon in Luka Yosef, saying that it's all about the damage, it's all about the chisaron. He says, look, this is basically in Hilchos Nezikin and Gzeila. It's about hurting someone else.
You only earn him $100 to fix the balata, to paint the walls. So why should you have to pay more than that? You're only paying for the chisaron. The hana is just the tanai in the chisaron. Well, for tosis, the chisaron is the tanai in the hana. That's the basic machlokas.
He had another house. He didn't have another house.
What?
You just said he had his own house.
I said yeah, no. He didn't have another house. He was nana tons of money.
So then, what's the question? The question is,
he was nana 100,000 shekel, but he only damaged you 100 shekel. So how much does he have to pay?
No, but also damaged because...
No, you wouldn't have rented it anyway. You're a rich American.
Oh.
Right? Sorry, I apologize. Right? You're a rich American. You were not planning to rent it out. You only lost the amount it cost for a workman to come fix it up in one day. He really needed an apartment. He gained 100,000 shekel worth of rent. So how much do you have to pay? Big nafgamina. You know, peanuts or a fortune. That's a machlokas rishonim. We have a possible lactosis, I believe. Although, you know, when it comes to real Bati Din Lais, it's always more complicated. But, you know, at least in the Shulchan Aruch and mainstream, we possibly like Tosos, that no, we seem to say the Iker is the Hana, the Chisar is just a Tanai in the Hana. Not that the Hana is a Tanai in the Chisar. Another Nafkamina of this might be, and here we're getting a little closer to home. One second. And here it's okay. Correct. Yeah, I said closer to home. I'm just gonna, since we're out of space, I'll try to use another color to substitute for space. Fine. What about onus? So I think it's pasha to me. It's pasha to me. If my chiyuv is for wrongdoing, for mazik, for gezel, then it's obviously potter. It obviously has to be potter by onus. Since when am I chayav if I was mazgu legamrei by onus? Right? Now, I don't have other mood li olam, but other mood li up. So, okay, you have to be done exactly what that means. But, clearly, other is not mood li olam, like if someone else forces it down their throat, right? Onus gomer, like this, is clearly potter. Again, you're right. If by onus you mean, I wasn't negligent, it was an accident, then already not so pasha, the mudliola. But I mean an onus gomer, like in our case. Right, our case, the guy stuffed it down my throat against my will. That's so pasha that I should be, pasha that I should be pater by onus. If, however, what I'm paying for is the hana'a, then lechora, I should be chayav. Because who cares if it's be'onis or be'ratzon? Lemaisa, I now benefited. It's only fair for me to pay. I benefited from you. I benefited. I didn't benefit from you being a nice guy. I benefited and it was at a cost to you. Right? So if I benefit, it's only fair for me to pay. I don't have to pay a lot of money. I just have to pay what I benefited again. Right? If someone feeds your filet mignon to my dog, it doesn't mean I have to pay the price of filet mignon. Because I only have to pay the price of dog food, because that's how much I benefited. But Lemaisa, it's not fair. Now I save the dog food.
The dog food's more expensive.
Okay, depending on what kind of dog food. And what kind of food you own, I guess. The regular old-fashioned dog food. Remember when we were young, and dog food didn't have to be organic, and, you know, and gluten-free, and, you know, ISO certified. It was just dog food. Okay.
Now it's bedatz.
They're more machmer than bedatz. Trust me. So then it makes sense that I should be chayiv. And in which case, my diyuk would be that Rashi would be on this side of the Chakira. Because Rashi says, you're chayivim ba'ones. Ba'ones, it's hard to be mechayiv if you're damaging someone, but to be mechayiv you, as we just said, because you have something, it's only fair to pay the price. Of course, if I lend you money ba'ones, of course you should pay me back. What do you mean? You got the money, it's only fair to pay it back. That's reasonable. And then I think Rashi could be l'shitase. How could Rashi be l'shitase? Because, what about the case you started with, what about a case where, I mean, this is really almost the same as onus, which is really what Elsen was pointing towards. What about a case where I didn't do the chisaron, you did the chisaron, and the chisaron happened beforehand, right? What if you did the chisaron before I came onto the scene, right?
What if the someone else did the chisaron or caused the chisaron before I was nana? Now, this might just be saying onus in different words, right? But it's the same basic idea. What if someone else caused the chisaron before I was nana? You clearly wouldn't blame me for the chisaron, I don't think. What do you mean? The chisaron was there. I had nothing to do with it. I came in afterwards, after it was too late. Right? I don't understand. If a ganav steals something, he makes a shino and he's koning it, it's too late and I don't take it from Hetsumi. So then I think, obviously you should be putter if the problem is by damaging you. I didn't damage you. The other guy damaged you. But if you say the problem is hana'a, then Asher Lomar, the chayav, and that is exactly Rashi. And Rashi is, I think, consistent here. Rashi would say, how come Rashi says I'm chayav even though someone else damaged it, not me? That's clear in the next Rashi. Even if Gutrason is wrong here, it's clear in the next Rashi. Why does Rashi am chayav? If I'm not the one who damaged it, I'm the one who's dead, but I'm the one who damaged it. The answer is, I'm not chayav for the damage. I'm chayav for the no. The damage is a background tie to make sure that it's not a case of me the stolen mechila. So then it makes sense. Here, I didn't do anything wrong, but I was nana. And you can't call this me the stolen, because between the two of us, we've damaged you. Right? What did the guy say? The guy says, what do you mean, I should give you something for free? I don't care between the two of you. Look what you did to me. I deserve, I'm not moichel on this. So then it makes a lot of sense. If the chisaron is just a t'nai in the hana'a, then even if I didn't do the chisaron, but still the guy was working with me, against me, it certainly looks like he was working with me, he was touching me, he's putting things in my mouth, so that's enough of a chisaron to say it's not no longer begetter me the stone, it's no longer, what me the stone? I lost my food, someone has to pay me. And if I can't find the other guy, then you should pay me. Someone has to pay me. So I think Rashi is clearly works out very, very well. Lishi Tase. Of course, you could certainly also say Potter, because you could say even if the Hakusser is a Tanai and the Hana'a, still it has to be the same person. Otherwise, it's a different parsha entirely. You could say no. This is me the stone. The other guy damaged you. He's a terrible person. Sue him. But if I merely ate something that was already gone, isn't it me the stone to sue me? So it depends how you look at it. Like, me the stone, like you look at each like moment separately, or me the stone, you look at the whole picture. But I think either Rashi or the Ri could definitely fit here, while the Ri could fit here. One thing which I am a little, I'm a little reluctant to be modeh, would that then Rabbi Yutam would come out against the Tosim Bava Kama. Because Rabbi Yutam says you're potter ba'onis. And if you're really chayiv l'anah, shouldn't you be chayiv ba'onis also? So Rabbi Yutam says you're potter ba'onis, and that's a little, and then he would be on the Rif side, and the Adraman side, and the Rambam side, basically the side of Rishoni Svarad, against the side of Tosin Bava Kama, which is certainly possible. They don't quote Rabbi Tam in Bava Kama. But I'm not sure, do we have to admit that Rabbi Tam is not the author of the Tosin Bava Kama? Can we say something a little more clever? I'm not sure. Could be, you might have to admit Rabbi Tam is not the author of Tosin Bava Kama.
Unless you go like the COVID urine that you gave us to look at.
Ah, okay. I was thinking about whether that would work. That maybe onus is such a super duper tour that it doesn't only potter you from wrongdoing, it potters you from even from natural results of your actions, which would be like, so I think maybe that's what you would have, if you want to say that Rabbeinu Tam's not against Tosos and Bava Kama, maybe you could say, Yesh La'ayin. Good segue. Yesh La'ayin, De'ulai Yesh Lomar Potter, even if it's paying for the Hana, why should I be Potter for a bonus? Even if it's about paying for the Hana, I really think it should be Chayiv to pay for the, but maybe if you could say that, Be'onis is as if you didn't do it at all, like the Rav Chanan on sheet 10,
says, then maybe Efsher Yesh Ki Onus is Ilu Lo Asa Klal. If you say an onus, if I didn't do it at all, it's still a little dumb to me, because who cares if I did it? I should care if I was Nana. Like, being Nana is a fact, is not...
You could be Nana from the Achila, you didn't eat it.
Yeah, but Lamaisa is still Nana. So, Yesh L'ayin, I was going back and forth about this. Instead of sleeping last night, I went back and forth in my head as to whether you could fit being a Tom in Mythos and Baba Kama by saying something fancy and onus, that onus is so powerful that you don't even have to pay for your Hana bonus, because if you didn't get the Hana at all, I don't know. Not convinced.
And then like growing the body at the birth and like the...
Yeah, except that there he's talking about responsibility for a Maisa. Here we're talking about paying for a Totsah. Hana's a Totsah. That's what makes this a little tricky to me, not a Maisa. That's why I'm a little myself. But okay, Yesh L'ayin, we can think about this. I think I might just have to swallow the fact that it could be that Rabbeinu Tam here is not being, doesn't jive with, doesn't shtim, as they say, with the Tosfos and Baba Kama.
Can't you say that the Hana is Mechayi because it's like an Umbra that you're Mechayi the Das? But if the Hana comes to Onus, then...
I mean, could you? I mean, I guess you certainly could. But I don't think so. It doesn't sound like the Gemara, like the guy Mamish Pedas didn't want to pay. So I don't know. That's a little too radical for me. Okay, I could make up another 12 nafkaminas if I want, but I won't right now. The only thing I could think is that. If you wanted to fit Rabbeinu Tam with the Tosfos, maybe you'd say along the lines of what Yosef is saying, but a little different. Because if you don't want to put Rabbeinu Tam, exile him to Sfarad and away from all his fellow Bali Tosfos, maybe you could say something a little more complicated in Tosfos, that it's not that when you get Hana, you have to pay for it. And I wouldn't say Umdur Midas. I would say almost what Yosef said. It's not Umdur Midas. It's like Al Pi Halacha. When I am Nana from someone, when I take Hana from someone, Al Pi Halacha, it's Ki'ilu, I'm in a contractual relationship of Schiros or Mekach Memkar with them. That I have to pay. Basically, by taking Hana, whether it was my das or not, when I take Hana from someone, I am entering into a contract to pay them. So that's almost what Yosef said. And then you could say, when I decide to take Hana from someone, I'm automatically entering into a contract to pay them. But if I was honest, what do you mean? You're going to enter a contract for honest, then you don't have to pay. So if you want to say, would that satisfy you, Yosef? Because I just don't want to say Umdana, because it's clear in the Gemara, the guy's Umdana, that he didn't plan to pay. He was an ice bar. Maybe what you could say for Rabbeinu Tam is, and I think that's easier, because I think by the onus, the reason I don't like saying onus is if he didn't do it, because even if onus is if he didn't do a maisa, you can't deny that there's a totsah, that there's a result. You can't say onus means there's no result. Right? If I kill my dog by onus, he's still dead. If I eat the onus, I'm still full. If I burn my, the $100 bill by onus, I'm still poor. Okay, but maybe you could say for Rabbeinu Tam if you want, and I think that, Rabbeinu's like maybe to something similar to this when he gives shir on Baba Kama, but I'm not, my memory's not so good. Maybe what you could say if you want to bring Rabbeinu Tam at a golos is that it's not that you have to pay for the Hana'ah as a totsah after the fact. It's that whenever I take Hana'ah, whether I like it or not, I'm entering into a contract to pay for it. However, bonus, the contract you enter into bonus is not binding. So maybe you could say you could rescue Rabbeinu Tam. We'll just leave this as a
You could rescue Rebbeinu Tam. How do you want to rescue Rebbeinu Tam? Joel wants to rescue Rebbeinu Tam by saying, Ones is as if nothing happened, and that's why you don't have to pay. I want to rescue Rebbeinu Tam by saying, it's not that after the fact you have to pay, it's that automatically whoever takes Hana'ah is, even if they don't think so, is obligating themselves to pay. And, but for Ones, you don't have to fulfill an obligation that you undertook for Ones.
That kind of thing, then Hana'ah takes the place of Das HaMitzchayim.
Not Das Maschai, but Das, yeah, maybe. That's what I am saying, and maybe you could say this. If you want to, I don't want to get too detailed, be Medayik and a Rashi in, whenever I say I don't want to get too detailed, that means I'm going to, right? obviously. There's a funny Rashi in, I don't know if it's a good Diuk or not, but there's a funny Rashi in, Baba Mitzia Daf Kuf Yud Zayin Amud Beis. That there's a Rabbi Yehuda says Asher Shiyana Mamuchay Yerushalmi Daito. You're not allowed to get Hanar from someone else. And Rashi there. And Rashi there basically implies or says that Lo Ka Asher Rabbi Yehuda El Zanenev Zechaser Huda Asher. Rashi connects this to Zen Nanim Zechaser. Rashi would say, the reason why Zen Nanim Zechaser has to pay is because you can't take Hana'ah for free. You can't take, or without permission. You can't just take Hana'ah. So it might seem for Rashi like, yeah, it's the Hana'ah that's the problem, not the Chisaron. But it's not that you have to pay after you get the Hana'ah. It's that taking Hana'ah in the first place, you're not allowed to take without agreeing to pay, and therefore you have to pay. And then you can say, it's not the totsah of Hana'ah. Basically what I'm saying is not the totsah of Hana'ah, but the mice of taking Hana'ah. That's Machayev you. That's basically what I'm saying in Meir Tam. Now I realize what I'm actually saying in proper Lomdish terminology, that you could say that even Rebbeinu Tam, and now this will make Joel happy also in terms of Ones, could say Potter, even if it's because of Hana'ah, if you're willing to make a finish. If it's the Maisa Lekichas Hana'ah, that's Machayev, not the Totsah Hana'ah. I don't know why I'm writing it, because obviously you can't read this. But what I wrote is, Rabbi Tam could say Potter if it's the Maisa Lekichas Hana'ah, not the Totsah Hana'ah. Meaning, Rabbi Tam could say, yeah, it's the Hana'ah, I'm a Baal Tosos. It's the Hana'ah, not the Chisaron. But it's not the result of Hana'ah, because even Ba'onis, I have the result of Hana'ah. It's the Maisa taking Hana'ah that's Machayev. Maybe talking to the Rashi, because it's usher to do a Maisa Lekichas Hana'ah without paying. And therefore, but honest, I didn't do a mice l'kichas ana, so I'm not chayiv. Okay, so we could rescue Rebbeinu Tam, or we could exile him to Arzos HaSfarad.
But that's a hakir and
now that El's already over, you won't mind.
That's a hakir and honest, though, whether honest is
good. Yeah, in a chanami. Okay, correct. Okay, absolutely. That's what Joel started with. Okay, I think that's basically all we have to say. There's, obviously, if you go into the pertei front of the details, but this is the I don't think we've skipped any of the main issues. In the sugya of Zenen v'zechaser, Zenen v'zelochaser, which is this is a very interesting test case for that sugya. Let's just briefly finish up our shaklavataria here. The Gemara then has finally the maskana. Remember, it couldn't be that he's stuck in your throat where you could have spit it out. Because then you'd be chayiv mamun first and nisus later. It couldn't be stuck all the way so far down that you couldn't spit it out at all, which then you'd be potter from something. That's what we've been discussing. So what must be the case? The case really must be, that. Case really must be that it's Matzi La Dure Al Didei Hadchak. What happens when it's Matzi La Dure Al Didei Hadchak? What happens is that apologize. That's the actual case when the Chimamon and the Chiyav Misa come at the same time. Chiyav Mamon and the Chiyav Misa finally come at the same time. Right? And that's when they would be kimle d'rabbi nekes the chi of mammon and misvei shemayim come at the same time. Meaning, this is the case where it's, we always have to, it's so complicated. We have to remember we're holding the sugya. Then the chi of misa bidei shemayim, the chi of mammon chalim bozmanit. If you apologize, for, if you don't mind some Hebrew simultaneously. And that's when it's finally we got enough community. Rav and Abaye, Rabu says only Kares would say you're chayav mamon because there's no kimlin rabbi meisim b'shemayim. While Abaye would say there's kimlin rabbi meisim b'shemayim. You're potter from mamon gevaldik. Now we just have to figure out why they come at the same time, and what that time is. Why do they come at the same time, and what is that time? So what does Rashi say? Rashi says, "Dinami ahadra mimasa velochazia lebailim." Rashi says, "There's no chiyuv mazik. There's no chiyuv mazik. Even if you spit it up, it wouldn't be worth anything, right? Lochazia lebailim. When he stuck it into the makom that yikushi, you can spit it out. It's already worthless. Hilkach mezul ogazel. There's no gezel. There's no mazik." Why are you chayiv for the hanah? I mean, there's no mazik, there's no gezel, because it's already worthless. What are you chayiv for? Are you chayiv for the hanah? The hanah of eating the misa and the mamon at the same time. So what does Rashi say? Rashi says that, right, that basically, when you swallow it, right, when you swallow legamre, right, that the chiyuv misa v'chiyuv zenene, both are chal b'shas hana'as brona umeyav. There's machlokes of Yochanan and Rishlokesh in Chulin, whether you're chayav for eating treif when your throat is nana or when your belly is nana, but basically after swallowing you get hanah. The hanah, they both agree the hanah is machayv yon achila, the hanah is machayv yon mamon. So it's a good example of kibbutz rami and the nafkamina between Abaye and Rava. Why aren't you chayav before the hanah for being a goslin or a mazik? Right? So, aren't you chayav mamon earlier for gezel? Or you could have asked for hezek, right? Although that's not what Rashi says. Why are you chayav mamon earlier for gezel? So Rashi says, because it's already worthless. Okay, Tosus has two kashas on Abaye. What are Tosus? Tosus, or whoever it is it the Ri or is it Tosus here? Vim Tomar. Okay, no, it's Tosus. Tosus Tukash and Abaye. What are the order? For 1 second. No, in our Tosus, he has one kasha. He has one kasha explicitly. So he says, it says in Chulin. It said before Shmor in Chulin that by Tuma Belua, when you swallow something, they want to know if it's Mekabel Tuma or not. So what are we passing? If you swallow something, is it Mekabel Tuma or not? Is it Tuma or not? No, because anything that's Belua is not Nitma. But the Gemara says, but what about the fact once you swallow, it's not Roy Lachila? So it's not Mekabel Tuma Zochlin. Say, no. It is Roy Lachila. Someone who, if you vomit it up, someone who sees you vomit it up wouldn't eat it. But if you rinse it off and feed it to someone who didn't see you vomit it off, they would eat it. So okay. So it's a so it's still edible. It says, is it a forced born chulin that even when you swallow something it's still edible? So doesn't that prove it's still worth something? So that's why Tosfos rejects Rashi. How would you defend Rashi? Is that really a stira? Born chulin says it's still Roy Lachila. So doesn't that prove that it's still worth something? What? Or no, to you, if you fool someone and they don't see you spitting it up. So I think this is already the Shita Mukubetz is quoting the Shita Yeshana defends Rashi. He says, the Gaon Chulin just means it's Roy Lachila. That doesn't mean that it's Roy Le Mechira.
It's rai lachila, you could eat it. But that doesn't mean anyone will pay money for it. Yeah, it's, there are some things that are edible, but no one would pay any money for, but are worthless. Right? Why? It's edible. You know, if someone didn't see you, they could eat it. But no one would pay money for this. So therefore, it's not really a disproof of Rashi. Rashi just says it's not worth money. That doesn't mean it's not physically edible. It's physically edible, but no one would pay any money for it.
How did that for Rashi, though? Because and the Bible can't eat it, though. I mean, but the Bible could eat it, though. Isn't that, that the original owner could eat it, though? So you can't sell to anyone, but you can eat it himself.
One second. Yeah, if we want to. That's an interesting taina. All right, I have familiar in that taina. Other than making no kenta. Okay, lemaise, that's Rashi. Tosos wants to say a little different than Rashi. How does Tosos want to say a little different than Rashi? Basically, it's the same basic mahalach as Rashi, right? You're chayav. sorry. You're chayav at the same time. You're chayiv at the same time for hana'ah, and you're not chayiv beforehand. There's no mazik, there's no gezel. What does Tosos say that's just subtly different than Rashi? Because Tosos doesn't want to say something's worthless. Tosos thinks, no, if it's still edible, then it has to be worth something. So what does Tosos say? Subtly different than Rashi? It's worth something, but it's worth a lot less. So if it started off as $1 million, so it might, but if it started off as just a couple of prutas, then by the time it's worth much less, it's less than a pruta. And therefore, there's no stira to chulin. And the chulin just says it's edible. It doesn't say if it's worth more than a pruta or less than a pruta, right? So he just says you started out with something pretty cheap, and then by the time you also made it gross, it's now worth less than a pruta. So that's Tosos, because it's already worth pachos mishav pruta. So this is Rashi. Basically, when are they both chal? At the end. Immediately when he sticks it down your throat, neither misa nor mamon is chal. At the end, when you finally swallow it all the way, they're both chal. The anyone have a different interpretation of this of this sugya? So the Ritva actually has a third shot here. What does the Ritva say? Why are you not chayiv at the beginning for being a gazlan? Or I think you say the same thing in Mazik, but obviously he's going a gazlan. Why does the Ritva think you're not a gazlan? Rashi says, because have you been gazlan? It's worth zero. Tosa says, no. Gemara and Chulin, it's still worth something. The answer is, have you been gazlan? It's worth less than a shor pruta. What does the Ritva say? The Ritva says the same, but what is the quote of the Yeshiva Farshim in the Ritva? Why are you not a gazlan?
It's just Kitzar.
Exactly. You're not a gazlan if it would be Tsar to refrain. Meaning, if I steal something of my own volition, you can hide me as a gazlan or as a mazik. But over here, he just makes one of kipta. When you stick it down my throat to the plate, well, it's Epshel Aduri al Dantchak. It's not such a big old kipta. What does al Dantchak mean? It's Pashup Shah, it's not no kipta. What is it al Dantchak? With difficulty. What does the difficulty mean? It means with sar, with difficulty. Otherwise, what? Al Dantchak means like only if I'm in the mood? No, that's Epshel Aduri, be in the mood. It means it's hard to spit it back up. It's way down my throat, it's easy to swallow it. It's hard, it's uncomfortable, maybe it's even a little painful to spit it back up. And says the Ritva, you know why you're not chayiv as a gazlan for not spitting it back up? Remember, in the first line of the Gemara, why you're not chayiv like in the first case? Remember the first case of Emotila Durei? We're chayiv right away for not spitting it out. Why are you not chayiv here? So Rashi says, ah, in this case it's worthless. Tosa says, in this case it's worth very little. The Ritva says, no. If you could spit it out easily and you don't spit it out, you're a goslin for keeping it. But if it would hurt you to spit it out, we can't call you a goslin. How are you a goslin? It's not your fault. It's not your fault. You are. We don't require you, meaning we don't require you to endure tsar in order to protect your friend's property. We don't require you to endure tsar in order to return your friend's property. That's not called a goslin, right? Which makes sense. It's a ptur gzela, and even per hezek, there's a limit. There's a limit in Benal Chaveira. How far do I have to go to avoid damaging or taking your property? The answer is obviously, all else being equal, I'm an evil person if I take your property. But I don't have to put myself through pain in order to avoid taking your property. I mean, you know, I shouldn't stick it in my throat in the first place. Someone else stuck it down my throat. I have a legitimate excuse for taking your property because it was to avoid pain, and therefore I'm not a goslin. That's the Yeshim Farshim of the Ritva. However, there are two other approaches in the Rishonim.
Compared to
Hashavas Aveda? Maybe you could compare it. We all know I don't do tsar to do Hashavas Aveda, right? That's Pashat. Right? It's not my fault for not being Meshav Aveda if there's tsar. So, now the question whether it be an exact equation or just a comparison, but similarly for Gzela, to refrain from Gzela, I'm not obligated to refrain from Gzela, but Makom tsar. That's the Yeshiva portion of the Ritva. You can see some interesting, potentially, I don't know, some interesting nafkaminas about these things. Like, maybe, I wonder what the Ritva would say. You know, this is Maisim B'chol Yom in schools, etc. You know, the goody-goody kid has access to the teachers, whatever, so the bully says, I'm going to beat you up if you don't, go where the teachers let you in and steal something from me. So is he a goslin or not? So I don't know. The Geshem Harsh would say no. It's not his fault. That's not Zela. Maybe he's not Chai. That's not Zela. It's not his fault. Obviously, if they threatened to kill him, we wouldn't make him pay for a goslin. So he says no. Tsar, when it comes to obviously some things, tsar is not a valid excuse, right? You're not allowed to do all the averus in the Torah just to avoid tsar, right? Here, it's even a small tsar. It's spitting something over your throat. It's not the end of the world. Right? But that's in Benon Lamakum. Benon Lamakum, certainly we wouldn't say that you're allowed to eat Macholos Asuros to avoid Tsar. But in Benon Lachaveiro, it's not so crazy. After all, I only have to protect your property to a limited extent, how much a person would care for property, and Tsar to Gufei Adif. So therefore, it's not at all crazy to say he's Pater from Zayla, it's an excuse Zayla if it was.
I think it's a kind of Sheva Al-Tasa. It's something else.
Right, especially since here is different from that case. Okay, one can certainly analyze this further. Let's just point out the other dais in the Bali Tosos, and the Ritzba says at the end of this Tosos a little differently. That's one. Rashi says all at the end. Says the Ritzba. The Ritzba says. I apologize. But Ritz appears to my Akka open gloomy isiklo to talk a little bit of Leo Bolavinet. Right. Really? He says this is even if it's still worth a lot of money. Maybe there's some candy that really don't get damaged at all by sticking them down my throat. You know, a hard sucking candy really wouldn't get very damaged by sticking down my throat. I mean, big sakana for me, but it wouldn't get damaged. What does the Ritzba say? The Ritzba said that it's cholim ka'achas afal pi she'eino ka'achas mamish. Meaning, what does he say? He's saying beginning through to the end. Really, the mammon is chal right away. I'm a goslin at the beginning. The mis is only chal at the end. When I first let it stay in my mouth, I'm already a goslin because it's worth money. When I finish swallowing them, chayav misa. But they're so close together, that's considered at once. Because it's so close. So that's the Ritva. Basically, Rashi and the first day in Tosos, the Yeshiva Rishon Ritva, push everything to the end. The mum is not till the end because it's al tzanda. He says, no, the mum is not al tzanda. The mamon is Zela or Mazik, according to him, right? We don't say, the mum's hanot at the end. You're not doing any gzela hezek. No, you are doing gzela hezek. Other than the gzela hezek come before the chiyuv misa. It does, but it's so close together. It's not like for the
yachalach zero to your stomach. That's far apart. From yachalach zero to get chak, it's so close to your stomach that counts it together. And then he brings a proof that maybe Kim Ravile, it can't be like 2 seconds apart, but if it's a half a second apart, then that counts as together. That's number two. The third
there. That's a very tricky thing because he's making a difference from when it's over here to over here.
Exactly.
He's saying it's
basically, from the makom, basically we're asking all the, from the makom sheyachalach zero, bekal, till the final eating is a long time. From the makom sheyachalach zero, bechak, to the final eating is a short time. Correct. The third derech is Rabbeinu Tam. Rabbeinu Tam basically puts everything in the beginning. That's why there are three different drachim here. What does Rabbeinu Tam say? It's not in the Tosfos Shonim on the side. For Rabbeinu Tam Pirish, can't learn Tosfos without the Tosfos Shonim. For Rabbeinu Tam Pirish, Kave and Shubamak, Lomotzi Laduri, Ledeat Chak, Farnene Grono Uban Ke'echad. What does that mean? Farnene Grono Uban Ke'echad. It's Machlok, Sir Yochan Rish Lakish and Chulin, whether your Chayev Treif for Hanas Grono or Hanas Me'ayim, we pass like Rabbi Yochan Hanas Grono. Where Rabbeinu Tam says even the Misa is coming right away. Everyone until now held the Misa was like a second later. And the Ritva said it's only half a second later that counts. Right? So Rashi and Tosu said the Misa is a second later, but so is the Mokum. Ritva says the Misa is half a second later, but that's close enough. He says, no, the Misa is right away. What does he say? He says, Cholim ke'achas miyad kodem bliyasa. Why? The Mokum is gzela or mazik, not hanag. See, we end up with machlokas, what the mammon is. And, but also, he thinks that makom, that this already counts, this makom counts as macholos asuros. That's the chiddush of Rabbeinu Tam. You don't have to wait till you swallow it legamrei to be chayav machalos asuros. Already, putting your mouth is not machalos asuros. Putting your mouth and spitting out, for those of us who are in your day or who are going to get tzadikas, might be an issue drabanan, we paskin, but it's not machalos asuros to swish it in my mouth and spit it out. Right? Like the wine tasting the treif wine, it's an issue drabanan, but it's not a chiyuv machalos asuros. However, when I put it so far down in my throat that it's only yochalach zirul geit chak, that's already the part of the throat that even though I haven't eaten anything, like in my stomach, since we pass like Yochanan and Hans Grono, that already counts as Macholos Asuros. That already counts as eating for purpose of Macholos Asuros. Yesh la'ayin, but we don't have time now because it's already very late. Whether that's only true if I end up swallowing it or even if I don't, Yesh la'ayin l'fi Rabbeinu Tam. But that's the Chiddush of Rabbeinu Tam. Instead of making Chiddush about Mammon, he's making Chiddush about Macholos Asuros. Instead of bringing the Mammon later, he's bringing the Misa earlier, saying even though it's just in the middle of my throat, right? Middle of my throat, that's already considered Achila l'inyan Macholos Asuros, and the Misa comes right away. So Lamaisa, we have three ways of interpreting the Sekhanim Gemara. In what way is a makom that I can be master dead chak more simultaneous than a makom I can be master easily? So for Rashi and Tosi Yisrosh and Ritva, you know what makes it more simultaneous? I'm not doing any gezel, I'm only chayav for zenena. According to the Ritz, he says, you know what makes it simultaneous? It's just so close to the end that's so close it counts as simultaneous. And Rabbeinu Tam says, you know what makes it simultaneous? The Macholos Asuros already starts there. You don't need to wait till you finish swallowing. You don't need to wait till you swallow the gamri to have Macholos Asuros. The Misa B'nei Shemayim already comes, not at the top of your throat, but in the middle of your throat. And that's three ways of reading this Gemara. Okay, I don't want to come back to this Gemara, so I'll just mention very briefly, I guess, even though my time's up. Okay, this is the makeup for Rabbeinu Zman. It's very late. Okay. You know what? I have a better idea. Where are guys up to in the Makoros, by the way? Has anyone done number 4 yet? I'm just very curious. At the last minute, I added number 4 because I thought there weren't enough Makoros. So I'm curious if anyone ever actually got that. Okay, some of us started number 4. Okay, great. So you know what? This is what I'm going to do then. How far did you get in number 4? Gemara. Okay, great. So this is what I'm going to do then. The Newsman starts on a Monday. Right? The Monday after Yantif. So maybe what we'll do then is, we'll have a one brief level. We'll have Shira on Monday.
And on Monday, I'll just finish the last thing that I didn't mention here about Chayvin Misos on Musim that I didn't get to. And we'll hopefully, we have time today, we have another 2 hours, we have time Monday morning, where it's sort of allowed to learn the Beit HaZvanim also. When people say that it's the Baal Tosef, they don't mean that Davka. So maybe we'll shear Monday, and we will, maybe we'll shear Monday, and what I would say is, in that case, just go in the Gemara until, just go 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 8 lines down in the Gemara to get the basic idea of Akiva Tzor Hanacha. So just eight lines down in Daf Lamed Aleph.
Where do you want to, like, which words?
At the words Tzor Chachilahi. If you want to go a little further, you can, but don't worry about going through the whole Gemara and look at the Tosos, the Ramaskel, Sheakira, and then the rest of what's on the Makorah sheet. And we'll go over the Inyan of Chaim Misanusim and the Inyan of that Tosos Ramaskel Akira and the graph that I put on the Makorah sheet, Amir Tashem, on Monday, so I'm not going to get new Makoros. No Makoros number 11. There's no Makoros number 11. We'll just finish up this Makoros sheet, Amir Tzoshem, on Monday at 11:30.
So what do you want, which frame of Makoros do you want
to
still do?
The Makoros I want to do is this, the last paragraph of 1, and all of 4. Oh, and 3. You're right. The last paragraph of 1, and 3, and 4, so we have what to do. So we'll pick up with that, Amir Tzoshem. We'll pick up sheet 10, whatever we didn't get to now. We'll pick up Amir Tzoshem on Monday after Yom Tov at 11:30. And I will wish everyone a...